A media watchdog calls out CBC Kids for, quote, whitewashing Hamas's role in starving people in Gaza.
Pierre Poilievre has the lowest spending among party leaders.
The majority of Canadians believe private enterprise could deliver faster healthcare services. Hello, Canada. It's Tuesday, April 16th, and this is the True North Daily Brief. I'm Cosmin Jurja.
And I'm Noah Jarvis.
We've got you covered with all the news you need to know. Let's discuss the top stories of the day and the True North exclusives you won't hear anywhere else. A pro-Israel media watchdog is taking aim at CBC Kids for being an unfettered platform for anti-Israel accusations. Honest Reporting Canada, a group whose mission is to ensure fair and accurate media coverage of Israel, posted an alert on an article published by CBC Kids News, which lacked context and relied on statistics from Hamas. The article was called How Ramadan Feels Different This Year for These Canadian Teens. The story focused on two 17-year-old girls, Noor Al-Omeri and Khadija Nadim, who say Ramadan will have a somber tone this year as the war in Gaza continues. The CBC Kids article relays that Nadim looks forward to breaking her Ramadan fast and being able to celebrate iftar, but knows people in Gaza might not have anything to eat when they do the same. Nadim said in the article, "For people in Gaza, they are fasting during a famine. It's like, how do you look forward to iftar if you're not certain the fasting will ever end?" Honest Reporting Canada Assistant Director Robert Walker told True North the content was egregious. Honest Reporting Canada took issue with the author's lack of context, as Gaza is not the only place in the world where Muslims are starving, pointing to food insecurity in Yemen, Sudan, and Syria. Yet CBC Kids is portraying this Ramadan as particularly challenging because of Israel. A CBC spokesperson told True North that in the interest of balance, CBC Kids News will publish a piece sharing the perspectives of some Jewish kids and how they are experiencing Passover this year, which starts on April 22nd. Noah, the issue of food insecurity in the Middle East is prevalent. It's not only in Gaza, it's in other countries like Iraq, Syria, and elsewhere. These countries have always struggled to provide food in recent history due to the prevailing nature of the conflicts that are happening there. And with CBC Kids News, I've always suspected that they've had a bias, and there's a little bit of an insidious nature in trying to sway kids in a certain direction on global conflicts. Noah, are you surprised CBC Kids took this approach on the Israel-Hamas war?
Unfortunately, I'm not surprised, Cosmin, but I am just supremely disappointed that not only did they write this article, but they wrote it for an audience of children. They wrote it on their CBC Kids website, which is supposed to be, you know, safe, reliable news for children, stuff that's not appropriate or not sensitive to children. However, this piece, it is, I guess, the opposite of something that should be on CBC Kids, because understanding what this author is talking about, the context of this war and what has caused this conflict, is something that adults, or at least people who have looked into this conflict semi-extensively, would be able to understand, and they'd be able to grasp what's happening here in this conflict and this article. But for an audience of kids, I think it is irresponsible the way they wrote this article. For example, there is a line in this article where they talk about the fatalities in Gaza. They blindly state that about 30,000 Palestinians have been killed in this conflict, citing the Gaza Health Ministry. But the article, the author does not add context that the Gaza Health Ministry is ran by Hamas. That is very important information to understand, because the Gaza Health Ministry, Hamas, they're notorious for lying. They have a long history of lying about casualty numbers, and some statisticians, far smarter than I am, have ran the numbers and found that the amount of deaths that Gaza Health Ministry is reporting is overinflated, that there is no statistical possibility for the amount of daily fatalities Hamas is adding to this count to be possible. So they did not add that context whatsoever. And what are the conclusions that a child is to draw from an article written like this one? The conclusion they'll draw is that, well, these Muslim children, they're experiencing sadness and grief, and Israel is responsible for the sadness and grief of these Muslim children. Therefore, we should probably oppose Israel. That is a logical conclusion that you can come to by reading this article. And the CBC stating that they're going to write another article sharing the perspectives of Jewish kids during Passover is inadequate, because not only is that article going to be written and published about a week and a half after this article is published, but it's not guaranteed that everyone who read this original article is going to read the subsequent article, meaning that you've tainted the minds of some children who have read the first article and not read the second article. And your reporting in each article should be able to stand on its own. It should be able to stand on its own merits and not be too skewed one way or another. That's at least what the state broadcaster should aspire to. But this article just shows incomplete reporting. They were going to share the perspective of Jewish kids. They probably should have done it in the same article. But that just leaves this original article flawed, incomplete, and could lead children to coming to some terrible conclusions. Figures showing the expenditures for MPs were released in late March, showing that NDP leader Jagmeet Singh spends the most of all party leaders, while Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre spends much less than his counterparts. The data released by the House of Commons shows expenditures for nearly 350 MPs. Three quarters of the fiscal year 2023 to 2024 have been released thus far. During the fiscal year's first three quarters, from April 1st to December 31st, 2023, Singh spent a total of $535,000. On the other end of the spectrum, Poilievre spent $143,201. He was one of the only MPs on this list with absolutely zero expenses for hospitality and travel. While a handful of other MPs had zero expenses in that category, no other leaders did. The hospitality category includes hospitality expenses incurred for events. The travel category comprises travel expenses charged to the MP's office budget and under the travel points system. Travel expenses can largely account for the large gap in expenses between Singh and Poilievre. Singh's riding of Burnaby South is approximately 4,000 kilometers from Parliament Hill, while Poilievre's riding of Carleton is in Ottawa. Singh spent $186,000 on travel alone during the three fiscal quarters. Meanwhile, he spent $3,953 on hospitality. During the same three quarters, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau spent $216,000. As for Bloc Québécois leader Yves-François Blanchet, he spent $311,000 over the same period. So, Cosmin, it seems that Jagmeet Singh has a problem with keeping his expenses low. It looks like he is spending far more than Pierre Poilievre, Justin Trudeau, Yves-François Blanchet, and he is the coalition partner in this current Liberal government. So should it be concerning to Canadians that a man who spends so wildly with the taxpayer dollar is a coalition partner in this government?
Yeah, so I think one of the reasons he's spending such a ridiculous amount of money, of our money, on travel is because he travels to his constituency office in Burnaby, British Columbia. So he's constantly flying back and forth, which adds another element. You know, like, think about all of the emissions that Singh is producing as an individual. While he's complaining in the House of Commons that the government isn't tackling climate change, he's constantly jet-setting across the country back and forth. And if you recall, he was actually parachuted into that Burnaby riding. It's not his riding originally. He's from Ontario. He served as an MLA before in Ontario for the NDP. And he never had a presence in British Columbia, but suddenly he was parachuted there because it was a secure seat. BC leans NDP, and Jagmeet Singh saw an opportunity to get a seat in the House of Commons after he became leader of that party. So yeah, it's a little bit hypocritical of him, but I think these expenses are just a result of MPs having to travel back to their constituencies. I know he rents a unit in Burnaby, but I'm not sure how much time he actually spends there or if it's occupied most of the year. I wonder, with the housing crisis, if he's renting it out or if it just stays empty.
No, you're right, Cosman. I mean, I remember Jagmeet Singh, he used to serve as an MPP in a Brampton riding, and he had to go and take a seat in Burnaby because, well, even though Brampton is a community with a lot of Indian Canadians in Brampton, at least, don't really like him all that much. So because of his incompetence as a politician, he had to go out to a BC riding, which is on the other end of the country. But meanwhile, Poilievre is spending the least amount compared to these other party leaders. So is there any insights that we can glean from Poilievre's relatively conservative spending, or is there nothing to it?
Yeah, I think if you're running on a low spending platform and attempting to convince Canadians that you're going to balance the budget, reduce the deficit, and bring Canada into surplus, you should be spending a lower amount of money. Obviously, Poilievre is the opposition leader, so his spending is going to be still high. He's traveling around the country. He's trying to run a campaign to axe the carbon tax. He's doing press conferences all over the place, but he does need to set an example. It does show that, like, you know, if he's spending less money while doing all these things, he's obviously being smart about it. He's budgeting. He's choosing less expensive options. He's not trying to stay at fancy hotels. He's not flying first class. So I think the insight is that Poilievre is trying to put his money where his mouth is, and it seems to be working out. Canadians are becoming increasingly disillusioned with their provincial healthcare system and are open to alternative and even privatized options, according to a recent poll. An Ipsos poll conducted on behalf of the Montreal Economic Institute found that Canadians are unhappy with how provincial governments have handled healthcare policy and are showing increased support for alternative healthcare models. When asked to rate satisfaction with their provincial healthcare system, 50% of Canadians indicated they were dissatisfied. Atlantic Canadians are the most unhappy with their healthcare systems, as 67% indicated disapproval. As for the expenditure of additional taxpayer dollars on provincial healthcare systems in the past 10 years, 67% of Canadians said that these funds had no effect or worsened the healthcare system. Furthermore, 78% of Canadians said that the healthcare system is too bureaucratic, and 58% agreed that the rate of spending on healthcare was unsustainable. Canadians have become increasingly dissatisfied with provincial healthcare systems as waiting times have rapidly risen in correspondence with rapidly rising healthcare expenditures. Between 1997 and 2023, the cost of public healthcare insurance for the average Canadian family has exploded, increasing by 234%. However, Canadians have been seeing the quality of the healthcare system decay, as indicated by the wait times to see specialists and receive treatment exponentially rising. Privatized healthcare in Canada is a taboo. It was always strange to me that Canadians held this really like sacrilegious view of introducing any private healthcare options, because when you actually look at the healthcare system, it is a mixed system. There are private healthcare options. You can pay for certain specialists to do things for you. If you visit a hearing doctor, or you visit an ophthalmologist, these are private options for healthcare. But when it comes to political discussion, there's almost no room for politicians to suggest that, hey, we need to carve out a specific place, a limited place for private healthcare options, because what we're doing right now isn't working. Our healthcare system is overburdened. It's not able to deliver top results. And other countries are outcompeting Canada in this regard. And there are countries in the world like Sweden and elsewhere I know the European Union has a model where they're allowed to seek healthcare outside of their own country's borders and bill that to the government. So it's strange to me why Canada doesn't pursue different models and this rigid sort of thinking on healthcare. We can't change anything because it's always worked. Well, it's not working anymore. Noah, is it becoming increasingly clear that the only way to fix this is to have more private options for Canadians, or at least consider a reform of how healthcare is done in this country?
There absolutely needs to be healthcare reform in this country, Cosman. I mean, one of the biggest provincial issues, no matter what province you're in, is reforming the healthcare system. And I'm a bit disappointed that even though we have a lot of conservative premiers who have been elected across the country, none of them really has had the guts to take meaningful steps in ensuring that private entrepreneurs have the opportunity to deliver healthcare services for Canadians. I know last year, Premier Doug Ford announced that he would be expanding the private sector's role in delivering certain surgeries, but that is something that is already done. I mean, our healthcare system isn't entirely public. I mean, when you go to a hospital, more than likely it's government owned and all those employees are being paid directly by the government. But if you go to, say, your family doctor or a pediatrician or something like that, they're more than likely operating a private practice that is being subsidized by the government. So you still use your health card, but at the end of the day, it is a private practice. And that is something that I believe every provincial healthcare system has. And in Quebec, you could even go pay out of pocket for checkup or whatnot, and a lot of the times the service there is faster, and that is one of the issues with not allowing Canadians to seek private healthcare options. I mean, because of court rulings, Quebec is the only province with the privilege of being allowed to operate private healthcare facilities that is for profit, that people pay out of pocket for. And if that sort of system was expanded to other provinces, I believe that it would alleviate some of the pressure that Canadians are seeing with, you know, family doctors being booked and overbooked, with emergency rooms being full and overrun, with, you know, surgeries having these long, long wait times that are just growing by the day, by the month. And on a yearly basis, we see the increase in the amount of time people have to wait for key procedures, and even procedures that would just improve quality of life. These medically necessary procedures don't need to solely be delivered by the government. And sure, you know, they do allow, say, certain doctors to operate privately, but because of the system that is in place, at least in Ontario, it stifles some of the benefits that having the private sector within the healthcare system, within any system, it mitigates some of those benefits, because doctors need to meet certain very specific requirements. You know, the size of their doctor office is regulated, what they can have in their doctor's office is regulated, the size of the hallways, the size of the doorways, it's all extremely government regulated. So even though you have these private enterprises, they're not allowed to innovate, which stifles the ability for these doctors to lower costs and, you know, just to develop groundbreaking new ways to deliver healthcare that might, you know, cut costs and actually benefit the patient. So I believe strongly in expanding private healthcare in Canada. I believe we're the only country that delivers fully public healthcare that also restricts people from accessing for-profit paid healthcare. You know, the French, the Swedish, the English, they all allow you to seek private for-profit out of your pocket healthcare. And we do this with, you know, an optometrist, as you mentioned, you know, with their dentist, if you're getting braces, you pay out of pocket for that, and you generally receive good services. So I don't know why we can't do that with medically necessary procedures.
That's it for today, folks. Make sure to check in at www.tnc.news throughout the day for all the news you need to know. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to share our work with your friends and neighbors. And if you're able, please consider supporting independent media at donate.tnc.news.